Jeremiah 3. This is what he said. He said, therefore the showers have been withholden, or withheld, if you want to put it in modern day English. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, we believe you to reach down and touch. Lord, with the power of your divine grace, God, I believe you to minister to your people tonight. Lord, let the power of your grace come down and touch. And God, we give you praise for that we're going to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. The title of the message tonight is, therefore, the showers have been withholden. Amen. No, I like that picture. Old ground broke up and dry. You can't hardly do nothing with it. That's like church folks that ain't had a good move of the Holy Spirit in a while. Amen. They get all dry and crusty and broke up and hard-hearted. And you can't, come on, church, smile at me. I think I've got you. I'll stay here all night preaching this if I think I got you on the run. Oh. Now, in my early ministry, I was at Northport one night preaching, and I had a bad night. It was my third sermon. I'm at one of the larger churches in the state at that time, because they were bumping 350 or somewhere along in there. And I'm up there preaching, and I got the microphone, and they had one of them mounted, you know, had the big head on it where you just get close and hear you, and I'm in it. And I'm moving it back and forth while I'm preaching, and I don't realize that when I go this way, it turns. When I go that way, it don't. And that little bolt in the bottom finally comes off, and that thing come off in my hand. I'm standing there holding that, and I'm like, oh, my God. I laid it down. The pastor handed me a mic, and I start preaching. I tripped on the cord two or three times, and he sat back a cracking up because he knows by now I'm about to have a heart attack. And, man, I'm getting into my sermon, and all of a sudden they started jumping up. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, it's like right now. Ain't nobody moving. Ain't nobody said nothing. Ain't nobody clapping. And I'm up there and I'm still preaching like I was when there's amen, hallelujah, praise God. And I ain't doing nothing. And man, I give up. I said, hey, I quit. It was about 20 minutes into the sermon, maybe 25. That's real good compared to my second sermon. It was an hour and 45 minutes. I had some extremes. I went from 4 minutes with an 8-minute altar call to an hour and 45 minutes, and then back to a 20-minute sermon. I quit preaching, and I went by the office, and Brother Hall come in there, and he said, boy, you ever do that again, I'll never let you preach in my church. I said, Brother Hall, I'm sorry. I don't know what I said that made everybody get quiet like that, but I'll find out, and I'll promise you it won't ever happen again. He said, boy, they ain't going to shout while you're nailing the hide to the wall, and you had them going and let them up. I said, so I done figured this out. You get quiet, I'm going to preach harder. Yeah, I'm getting some noise now. Amen. But now, church, really, the reality is, we listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you remember, is the weeping prophet. Things really were going bad during his life. He ended up in prison. He actually wrote a book called My Lamentations, the things that really made me lament in my life. Amen. Now, the one good thing about that book, he finally comes around. He said, but thy mercies are new every morning. No matter how bad it gets, you still come back the next day with a blessing and with a power. And as long as I hang on, no matter how dark it gets at midnight, there's a sun coming up in the morning, and I'm going to feel your presence. Can you say amen? But notice what he said. The wickedness of the people had gotten so bad that he turned around and he said, the showers have been withheld and there is no latter rain. I want to be honest with you, church. That speaks to the day we're in right now. Amen. I am afraid we have come to the place where we have people in Pentecostal churches who are ashamed of being Pentecostal, who don't want the Holy Ghost preached, who don't want a move of God. And I got to be honest with you, we need to ask ourselves, why has God withheld the outpouring of the Spirit of God in certain places and poured it out in others? And the only thing I can figure is that when you make room for the rain and you make room for the move of God, that my God is going to lift up his blessings and going to pour them out on everybody that is willing vessels, who is ready to be touched by the power of Almighty God. Could you say amen? Amen. There used to be a place out in Yosemite National Forest where they would actually push the trees over the side of the hill, but they'd light them up before they did it. And when they pushed them trees off into that rock gully, it'd be burning, and they called it the firefall. And once a year, folks would come from all over the place and camp out just to watch that firefall during the night. It'd crumble off, fall down, and burn all along the side of that hill and down in the valley, and it was them big old trees they were burning. But they got to noticing, they got there one year, and there wasn't going to be a firefall. And the guy asked the man a question, point blank, why doesn't the fire fall here anymore? Now, church, I got to be honest with you, sometimes we need to ask that some of our churches. Why doesn't the fire fall here anymore? The early church had an outpouring of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. Man, that was awesome. 120 believers. Of course, there was 500 something to start with. And some of them gave up and went home before something happened. Glory. Hello? Finally, that 120 gets filled with the Holy Ghost. They run out in the streets telling everybody. Holy Ghost gets a hold of them. They out there moving in the power of God, telling everybody about God moving. 3,000 souls comes into the church world. Next thing you know, they're writing of them. These are they that have turned the world upside down, and ain't a theologian in a bunch. They's money changers and people in all other kinds. But ain't but one seminary student in the New Testament church. He ain't got delivered yet. His name's Saul. Glory. I mean, you got fishermen and a bunch of people that, as far as theology is concerned, they ain't got it. But they got an anointing and they got an appointing. And they're letting God know, I'm on your side, and there's something in them that drives them out into a world to tell them about a lost and dying world, about a God that can change their life. Can I tell you, we need that kind of a move in the presence of God again. We need to ask ourselves, why is the fire not falling in my life? Why is the fire not falling in my house? Why is the fire of God not moving in my soul? And then we need to ask ourselves, what have I got to do to get the fire fall again? They got so good at stopping the forest fires, they were killing the forest. Hello? That's why they quit the fire fall. The idea was they'd go out in the forest and get all those trees that had torn down, bring them and put them on top of that hill all year long. And they'd pile them up and get them up till they'd get them to burn, and they'd push them off the hill. That way, if a lightning strike hit, there wouldn't be a forest fire they couldn't control. Then they found out that God knows more about it than they do. Isn't it amazing? We try to perfect what God's doing, and we don't realize he probably knew more about it when he set it in order than we ever did. It was God's will for the lightning to hit a tree and a forest fire get going that they might have to try to contain for a while. But you know what? They found out that those little seeds that come off the trees, they're very hard. Any of y'all ever saw English walnuts? Y'all like English walnuts? Well, I love them. Y'all like chestnuts? Oh, man, ain't they good? You ever tried to break chestnuts open with a hammer? You just have to eat in pieces instead of, and you got to get the shell out of them. You ever notice you get them hot, they pop open? You want to eat chestnuts and get whole chestnuts? Put them by a fire. That's why that song said chestnuts roasting by an open fire. You get them hot, they pop open. You can dig the chestnut out and eat in pieces, big pieces, the little bit crumbs. Because when you hit it with a hammer, you're going to bust all of it up. Well, you see, those were kind of like that. It was a seed similar to those chestnuts and the walnuts, and they're up there on that tree, and they got to have something make them open. If they hit the ground and nothing makes them pop open, the seed dies inside of that shell that's around the seed. And so, therefore, they needed a forest fire, because it was the fire in the forest that would make them pop open, let the seed get in the ground, and new trees would come out of it. And now they figured out, we've messed up the forest. It's dying on us because we don't have new growth. We're cutting trees, but no new trees are coming up, and they're trying to figure out what happened, and suddenly it hit them. We need a good forest fire every once in a while, because you see, that old hard crust of a shell has to be broken off so that that seed can get planted. Can I tell you what's wrong with the church? Why we're not seeing babes born in an altar? Why we're not seeing the move of God we want to see? We need an old-fashioned fire to burn that hard crust off our lives and to set us free. You say, scripture, give me scripture, preacher. You ain't got scripture. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage that'll set the captive free. We need the fire to fall so we can see a move of God in our family. We've come to a place in the church world where we're more worried about running people off than we are about whether or not we're going to share loved ones get saved. It's all about, well, you know, we got the elite of society coming. I was sharing with the men something that happened in one of our churches. We're not talking about California. We're talking about Alabama. Lady in the altar worshiping, speaking in tongues. Pastor comes up and says, hush. Oh, it's not that she was out of order. You know, there's some people get carried away. Not everybody that jumps and jives is of the Holy Ghost. She was just worshiping God. The pastor goes, we got folks here that ain't Pentecostal. You're going to mess them up and they'll leave. One of the men on the council came to him and said, Pastor, you read the sign out front? It says we're Church of God. Means we Pentecostal. If they come in knowing we Pentecostal, why should they be afraid of what we are? Come on, church. I used to be bad about going to the Catholic church. I'd gone there before I got saved, and I used to like to go to midnight mass every once in a while. I'd go to the Catholic church, and I'd sit back there, and I'd watch them do the mass. You know, I'd hear the guy speaking in Latin. You don't know a thing about what he's saying. That's cool. Can't get out of conviction if you don't know what he's saying. Glory. And then he'd come back down through there with that censer, throwing water on everybody. You get that little thing. They got little, if y'all never been to Catholic church, they got a little thing on the back of the pew you pull down and kneel on. Got a pad on it so you can pray. And you get on that, and they come down and throwing water on you. They got a little bowl of holy water outside so you can touch it and do your prayer. If I go to a Catholic church, and I have, I went to the Catholic church at Dolphin Island. I got there, I didn't know what to expect. All I knew is I was going there to preach. I thought it was strange. We'd started a church in the fellowship hall, and the priest was right in the middle of it. And I got there, and they got singing praise and worship, and the priest was in the middle of it. I preached, and he was in the middle of it the whole time I'm preaching. He ain't using Latin, but he's all over the place. He's shouting and he's patting me on the back, talking, preach it! Glory! And we in the altar praying for people, also. We towed him to the house every night. I'm sitting there going, this ain't like Catholics I've ever experienced. Because when I go to Catholic church, I expect them to act like Catholics. I don't expect them to start turning flips and falling out in the spirit. It kind of blew my mind. Y'all listen, church, I go to Baptist churches and preach. I used to do it all times, an evangelist. I'd preach to them, and I'd go there and preach, and I expect them to act like Baptists. They're going to sing out the Baptist hymnal. They're going to sing songs that'll have put you to sleep. Come on, church, I'm not knocking them. It's just some of their songs. They just... I preach a Methodist camp meeting about every 2 years, and they'll get up there, and this is how they do the singing. Y'all got a request? They'll do some specials afterward, but they'll sing five or six songs. And anybody wants something, and they'll open it up. Half the people won't know the song, but the guy leading it, he'll sing it if he knows it. The girl can play it, and he can sing it. They'll sing it. They'll be the only ones singing. Bishop hit me one night. He said, you ever notice they're the only ones into this? I said, yeah. I said, I got a book open. I don't know this song. I ain't never seen it before. Oh. I go to Baptist church. I expect them to act like Baptists. I expect them to sing out the Baptist hymnal. When I preach, I expect them to act like Baptists. When I give the altar call, I walk down front and I'll take people as they come up and walk up, shake my hand, and I'll pray with them one at a time instead of getting them an altar like we do. When I go to Methodist church, I expect them to act like Methodists. If they don't, it blows my mind. I expect them to get up and they're going to have an offertory song. That's the song they play while you take up offering. We just get somebody to play music. They call it the offertory. They're going to have a kid come in with a candle lighter lit, and he's going to light two candles. They're bringing in the fire. Most of them you never see no fire than that, but they'll bring in the fire. When they get through, they're going to sing the doxology, and they're going to light that little candle lighter, and they're going to take the fire back out to the world. Never gets out the front door before they blow it out, but they're carrying it out. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No. I'm not knocking them. I'm a fifth generation preacher, and I'm the first one that's not Methodist. That's my background. I don't have a problem with it. They're Methodists. I expect them to act like Methodists. I would like for them to get back down to their roots where the baptism of the Holy Ghost moved and they were touched by the power of God. But there are some of them. They are charismatic Methodist churches. They're getting back to it, just like there are a lot of Baptist churches that are getting back to the anointing of the Spirit. Amen. But when I go to one of those churches, I expect them to act like who they are. Therefore, when I walk in a church that says I'm Church of God, I believe in the anointing. I believe in the moving of the Spirit of God. I believe in laying hands on the sick and see them recover. I believe the signs following believers. Then I want to see a church that is anointed and moving in the power of God. I want to see God moving and somebody raise a hand every once in a while without having to be asked. And somebody said, praise the Lord, without having to be primed. I want somebody to lose it every once in a while and let God move in their heart. Listen, there is a reason the fires are being withheld. If we're not going to worship him, he is not going to bother to show up. Oh. Ain't nothing bothers me more than somebody sit there like a knot on a log, not moving, and talk about how they worship. Oh. I've always thought life showed you had some movement of some kind. Every once in a while, I want to reach over and slap somebody. Hey, you alive? Because they... Hello? Sometimes I say, preacher, you think it's important? Yes, it is. Listen, if we don't watch where we're headed, we're going to end up like all those we used to make fun of. I told you this morning, I can prove to you through a doctorate degree minister. See, they have a problem with Ron Phillips. See, when anybody else talks about Pentecost and Southern Baptist Association, they say, well, that's just one of them ignorant preachers. Problem I got with Ron Phillips graduating Dallas Theological Seminary with a doctorate degree. He held high offices in their book. And then suddenly he got filled with the Holy Ghost in a motel room one night because he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. He had religion. He was one of the leaders of the church. He was preaching all over the countryside. He had a church running 7,000-8,000 people in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Actually, it's a little bit outside of Hickson, just outside of Chattanooga. And man, things were going good. But he said, I was about to die. He got in that place, typed out his resignation, going to go to work in the business the next day. And he's down beside that altar, the bed, praying that night. He said, I said, God, I've had enough of this. If there ain't something else to it, I just want to quit and go on about my business. And said, next thing he knows, something hit him. And he said, I was up in the middle of that bed dancing around. That bed pulled up. Y'all ain't never seen this man. He weighs about 350, 400. He was up in that bed bouncing. He said, both ends was about to slap me while I'm dancing. He said, but I'm having church and I don't care. He said, I left that place, went home. For 4 months, I told nobody because I didn't know what the reaction was going to be. But he said, in my calls of the prayer, I'd lose it all the time. He said, one Sunday morning, I made up my mind. I had enough of this junk. I'm not ashamed of what I am, and I know what I got's real. And he said, I told my church, I have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've had the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and I'm not backing up from what I am. Could you say amen? Deacons called a meeting. We got to get rid of him. Problem was, the guy called a meeting was the one they got rid of. They said, oh, no, we're going to keep pastor. You don't like him, you resign and go. 3,000 members followed him. Most churches lose 3,000 people. Some others going to leave just to help out. Most of them's glad they ain't left because they run about 8,000, 9,000 now. Had to move to a new building because they couldn't have two services in the building they were in because they was overloading it in two services. Now they gone to a new building. Changed the name from Hickson Baptist Church or Central Baptist Church in Hickson to Abba's House, the Father's House. It's still Southern Baptist. I asked him one time, I said, won't you leave? He said, as long as they don't throw me out, I figure I'll stay here and just preach the truth in their buildings. Oh, hello? Amen. 150 pastors are networking through his church who are filled with the Holy Ghost now. And it's beginning to move. It's become a movement. They're afraid of them now because they're beginning to dominate. But all they're doing is getting back to the history. He documented the history of the Pentecostal movement, the Baptist church. There is a reason Baptists used to be called Quakers and Shakers. It wasn't because they went to church and said. They quaked and they shaked under the anointing of God. Oh, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Listen, there's a reason Methodists used to move in the Spirit. It was the base doctrine of everything they believed. Everything we teach on the Holy Ghost and on sanctification and on living close to God, we learn from them. The Christian Union, made up of 8 people, four Methodists, three Baptists, and one independent dude. We don't know what he was. That's what the church of God started out at in a schoolhouse in North Carolina when the Holy Ghost fell on them. Amen. I've been to the place where that schoolhouse was. We had a prayer meeting on that old in the area between them blocks where the foundation was. And I guarantee you there's still something there. Amen. Hallelujah. I have been privileged to be most of the places around the world where the Spirit of God fell. We were in Romania. Stop. The guy said, this is where the Holy Ghost fell in Romania for the first time. Said there was a lady sitting right there with her head on that windowsill praying, and God healed her of a goiter. She started speaking in tongues, and the people working in the apple orchard came running over, and every one of them got up to her. She'd touch her, and they'd fall out in the spirit, and a revival broke out, and over 5,000 people came to know Jesus Christ and got filled with the anointing of spirit. And now there are almost 2 million people in Romania who are Pentecostal. Amen. I got over there and sat down on that little stool, put my arms on that windowsill. I got to heaven church. They said, we got to go. I said, find me. I'll be here when you come back. I just wanted to stay and see if I could get another move in the heart of Apple Grove. I'm telling you, church, it's time. We made up our mind. We need a move of God. We need an outpouring of the Spirit. Oh, preacher, you got me mad now. I'm from Baptist background. I don't like you preaching against it. Listen to this. Where are the tongues of fire that fell on Pentecost? Where is that anointing of God that fell on those people and drove them to the lost and dying world with a burning message of the gospel that one man described as fire shut up in the bones? Where is those cloven tongues of fire that came down in the upper room and set upon each of them and lit them up with a glow of the power of God that made them turn a world upside down? He said, for we sit here in our icy igloos of religious atmosphere and we freeze while the fire of God is falling all around us. What we need is the fire of God. What we need is what John talked about when John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize thee with water, but there's one coming after me whose shoes I am not worthy to unlatch. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and we need that fire. You say, preacher, what are you doing? That's McLaren, a Baptist preacher in the 1900s. He was talking about a move of God that they needed in the church. We need it now, in the fire of God to move in the house of the Lord today, in the house of God. Well, preacher, what makes you think it's going to happen? The Holy Ghost is not for this day. I actually had a guy one time tell me that the Spirit of God doesn't exist for the church today. It existed for the New Testament church to get it started. That's why on the day of Pentecost, they all heard in their own language. He said that wasn't necessary. You know, I'm a dumb country boy. But in the 10th chapter of Acts, they were all of the same household. The 19th chapter of Acts, they were all from the same city. Now, I don't know about the 10th chapter. It don't actually say in Scripture what happened till Peter gets back. But Peter said, while I was yet speaking at Cornelius' house, the Holy Spirit fell on them as it did on us in the beginning. What happened in the beginning? The Holy Ghost fell on them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. They began to prophesy to the anointing of the Spirit. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? In the 19th chapter, they were all from Ephesus, a horrible town. They had an outrun where they went and burnt all the stuff to their ungodly gods, got rid of that jewelry, got rid of the peace symbols. I'm going to catch flack from that. I'm sorry, but in 1969, it was a broken cross, and it ain't changed in 2010. Glory. It's still a broken cross. And if you have, we used it this way in the late 60s. If you got a broken cross, you ain't got to follow God. I told you I'd catch flack. Some of y'all just lost me. I like peace symbols. Think about what it is. It ain't changed. What it was then, it still is now. Now, preacher, we don't need that. That's right, you don't need it. Amen. We got junk in our lives. We don't even pay attention to what it is. You want to know what's wrong with Wall Street? It's got a bull sitting right out in front of it. What's that? Well, that's what they use to worship Baal. And we talk about, oh, I'm bullish on so-and-so. I'm serving God. I ain't following stupid bull. Oh, come on. Y'all was into this till I got off on a piece of it. Now y'all gonna lock down on me. Well, get right. I'm tired of preaching negative stuff just so y'all can be happy. Come on, church. People come to me all the time. Oh, y'all not preach that. Don't make somebody mad. I'm fixing to make some folks mad around here because I decided I'm through with this junk. Come on, church. We're going to start having church, and I'm going to start preaching the truth. I've been preaching it, but I'm going to get harder. I'm going to start literally nailing some nails around here. Somebody said, why don't the church grow? I'm going to tell you why. Because we pity-patty around trying to make everybody happy, worried about somebody going to go somewhere else when we ought to be preaching the truth and realize that's what they did in the New Testament church, and they came in because there was fire, and there was an anointing, and there was a move of God because people were dedicated to him. Oh. But church, let me tell you something. The Bible specifies there would be a former and a latter rain. Read your history. The first 100 years, the church moved in an outstanding anointing of God. God moved in every service. People were being blessed. Healings were taking place. The miracles were bringing people in. And then all of a sudden you hit a thing. We call them the dark ages. Now, there were still moves of the Spirit. The Spirit of God never withdrew from the church. The church withdrew from the Spirit of God. It became a religion and not a relationship. It became all about, let's do it this way. They started killing folks that were trying to reform. Because a guy named Martin Luther realized one day there's more to this than all this ritual. And he goes out and says, oh, I got to make a change. I've read a scripture. The just shall live by faith, not by connection to a group. He started what you're in right now. He became the first Protestant. Without him, we wouldn't be here. We'd still be Orthodox. Only the priest could read the Bible. Only the priest could tell you what God had to say. You had to hope you could figure it out. I mean, they killed Wycliffe and Tyndale. They tried to kill everybody to keep them from putting the word where they could hear it. But the Reformation movement kept moving. Amen. And it tells us, even if you look up in the Encyclopedia Britannica, you'll find out that there were moves in the Armenian friars and upon the people of God back in those days. Charles Spurgeon talked about an outpouring of the anointing of God where people spoke in tongues in a prayer meeting at the Great Tabernacle in London. Amen. You see the move of God spattering around. And then about the turn of the century, over in Camp Creek, North Carolina, and a place over in Romania, and a place out in Los Angeles, the Spirit of God suddenly began to move again because people got so hungry for God, nothing else would help anymore. And began an outpouring of the latter rain of God, and the Spirit began to move, and revival broke out. But can I tell you, we're letting the rain wane in the last day, but I believe with all my heart there's fixed to be one more shower, one more outpouring before the trumpet of God sounds. And I want to be in it when it happens. I want to feel the anointing one more time like never before in the house of God. Oh. I firmly believe God's looking for a bride who is on fire with his anointing. Hallelujah. And I'm looking for the outpouring of God to take us beyond anything we've ever felt. Hallelujah. Whew. A former, and you say, preacher, explain that. Jesus spoke in colloquial metaphors. I like using them highfalutin words. That means he talked in the language of what he knew. Even today, if you go to Jerusalem, back down near the Sea of Galilee where he was from, it only rains real good twice a year. Beginning of summer, it rains a lot. They plant their crops. Crops start growing. Oh, it looks good. And then suddenly, no rain. I ain't talking about just a little bit of now and then. I'm talking about no rain at all. And we ain't talking about 90 degrees. They think it's a cold front. I'm in Jerusalem in April. It's 110 and it ain't hot enough for air conditioning yet. That's what they told me at the motel because they didn't have it on. I said, my God, it's on at 75 in Butte. Oh. Say, we don't turn it on till about May. That's when it gets around 120 or so. I'm like, 120, I'm dying. That's heat stroke material. Well, guess what? Toward the end of July, 1st of August, thunderstorms everywhere. It starts pouring down rain, rain everywhere. What happens? Those crops is about dried up, suddenly get fresh water. They snap back up, put forth their fruit, and before they have time to drop again, they harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus knew what he was talking about. There will be a time of planting when the church will be started. It'll roll along for a few years, then there's going to be a drought. It's going to be dry. It's going to be barren. It's going to be done. But I'm going to start another rain. And at that rain, the crops, the church, is going to start to bear back up, and it's going to start to bear fruit. But before it's dry enough again for it to die, I'm coming, and I'm going to sound a trumpet, and I'm going to get in the middle of it. Can I tell you, we're getting close to the time when the trumpet of God's going to sound. It is amazing. But right before harvest time is some of the wettest part of the season. And I'm telling you, we're at a time when the Holy Ghost of God ought to be moving in the church like never before. We ought to feel the touch of God like never before in the house of the Lord. Stand with me all over the house. Some of you need some fresh fire. You got so much of the incrustation of the world around you that you need God's fire to kind of crack it open, loosen you up so that God can get in and do his work again. If we've ever needed anything, we need a fresh fire. We need a fresh anointing. What you've got to do is ask yourself, why have the showers been withholding? Why have I not moved like I used to move? You ever notice we talk a lot in past about the move of God in the church? I remember we had a revival back in the 70s. Oh, it was awesome. Why didn't you have a move of God in the 2000s? God hadn't changed. The spirit and the anointing of God hasn't changed. God's flow to the church has not changed. There's a lost and dying world outside needs an anointed church on fire with something to break down the bondage in their life and set them free. But we've somehow become satisfied with mediocrity and getting by. And we need a fire. We need an anointing. The Bible said in the last days there would be showers of blessings. Oh, if we've ever needed anything, we need an old-fashioned shower. We need God to move like never before. I don't want somebody to come by and stop in front of the church and look at me and say, "Preacher, why doesn't the fire fall here anymore?" I don't want to have a spiritual angel etch over the door, Ichabod. For the spirit of God's departed. I don't want us to get so caught up in the world that we get so frivolous with the glory of God that we put it on the front lines and lose it to an enemy and then have to go try to figure out how we can get God to bring it back. I want his presence. Father, I thank you tonight, God, for your love. God, for your glory. God, I believe you to move with your presence, with your power, with your anointing. Holy Spirit of God, move on us, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.